Good morning, church. Grace and peace to you from the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to this worship time together at Faith Community United Methodist Church on this third Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of joy. We light the third Advent candle, the pink candle, celebrating the joy that comes to us in this season and every season from our God. I'd remind you that today is Coins for Mission Sunday. The blue buckets are on the offering table out in the narthex, and we're collecting coins for our various missions that we as a church support. I know a number of you, I saw you dropping coins in on your way in. Thank you for that. If you missed those on your way in and have some coins with you, please be sure to put them in the blue buckets on your way out today. That supports a number of mission projects. There are many missions that we support that have really been struggling through the time of the pandemic, and we want to continue supporting them. We have been blessed not to be struggling through this time, and we want to share those blessings with others. So thank you for your contributions to make that possible. And as we're speaking of contributions, the offering envelopes for 2021 are out in the narthex. If you haven't picked up your offering envelopes yet, be sure to check for those. Just a reminder not to crowd around the boxes after the service to get your envelopes, but stay distanced and give each other time to get your envelopes and do that in a safe way. And as we exit the service, be sure not to crowd around the doors or out in the narthex so that everybody can move through and continue to be safe and to gather safely and worship safely. Tomorrow is the last day to order your poinsettias. If you'd like to order poinsettias, the order form is in your bulletin, and this is your last chance. Tomorrow is the last day to get your orders in for the poinsettias, so be sure to do that. And now I invite you to stand as you are able, and let us join together in worship.
Good morning, I'm Mike Engel. I'm your liturgist today. If you would join me in the call to worship printed in our bulletin. Come apart to this place of rest and renewal. Let your spirits rejoice in the presence of God.
We will sing of God's steadfast love for all people.
We will proclaim God's faithfulness to all generations.
God looks with favor on the humble and lowly. God's covenant does not focus on rank or position.
God strengthens those who are weak. The proud are scattered in the thoughts of their hearts.
Blessed are those who walk in God's light. Blessed are all who say yes to God's call.
Let the heavens proclaim the wonders of God. Let all the earth rejoice in Christ's coming.
If you would remain standing, please, for the opening hymn, Angels from the Realm of Glory. It's number 220 in the United Methodist hymnal. We'll be doing something special today. Verses 1 and 2 will be sung as normal. There'll be a slight pause with the organ filling between the second verse and fourth verse. So follow the organ's lead before we will sing the fourth verse. Thank you.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the shepherds in the field abiding, watching o'er your flocks by night. God with us is now residing, yonder shines the infant light. Come and worship, worship Christ the thank you. the altar bending, watching long in hope and fear. Suddenly the Lord descending in his temple shall appear. Come and worship, come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. At this time, if you would join with me in the opening prayer. Shepherding God, whose signs are everywhere, restore in us your light, that we may discern what you are about. Shine upon this assembly to give life to our tired routines.
Fill our
longing hearts with quiet confidence. Awaken the child in us to experience your revelation. By your presence with us, deepen the prayers we utter and turn our fears to eager anticipation. Touch us to lend strength and confidence as we reach out to one another for help and healing. Amen. And now we will have the lighting of the Advent candles.
The candle of joy. We want everything to look nice. The decorations of the season, our homes with their lights and tinsel, wreaths and ribbon. We want to lighten the darkness around us, bring beauty to the ugliness that wears us down. We decorate because it is tradition, because it lifts our hearts, because it makes us feel like children again.
The prophet Isaiah smiled when he said, God will give a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, a mantle of praise instead of a faint spirit. No matter how far we feel from the spirit of the season, God promises to decorate us with love and with joy.
We light these candles as a sign of our joy in the beautiful things of this season. Not just the things that glitter and flash, but the deeper things, the beauty of the heart and the soul, the beauty of love shared in service and hospitality. We light this candle with joy.
Now, as we prepare for our prayer time, I invite you to turn in the hymnals to number 219, and we're going to sing together, What Child Is This?
Sleeping, whom angels greet with Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him loud the babe, the Son of Mary. Why lies he in such the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him on the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold and
gracious, most holy God, we give you thanks for that precious gift given through Mary all those years ago when you stepped into this world, born as a tiny baby, born for our salvation. Lord, thank you for that gift that brings us great joy. We worship you in joy this morning. Lord, we acknowledge that there are other things in our hearts besides that joy. There is fear and trembling. There is sorrow. There is anxiety. Lord, so much in this world seems so wrong. So much in our lives seems to be going awry. But Lord, we know that you are God, that you are in control. And so we turn all of those other things over to you, those fears and anxieties, those sorrows and sufferings. We offer them all to you, asking you for what is best for us and for our loved ones. Give us eyes to see the amazing things that you are doing in our lives. That even in the midst of our sorrow, we can rejoice. Lord, protect us and our loved ones through this season of illness. Bring healing. Bring restoration. Protect this church, that we may continue to be a shining beacon, that we may continue to live out your great call upon us to minister to one another, to minister to those out in the community so that all people might be touched by your love. All people might be connected to you and to one another. Lord, you came into this world for just that, so that we would have hope, so that we would have all that we need. Continue to bless and strengthen us this day and in the days ahead. in the name of our Savior, Jesus the Christ, as we offer to you now the prayer that he teaches us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Soon a tiny child will come, as prophets have foretold, a tiny babe whose humble birth will warm the winter cold. He will warm the winter. Soon a tiny child will come, a gift from God above, to teach us all to live in peace and fill our lives with love.
Thank you, ladies. If you would stand with me as you're able for our gospel lesson today, taken from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. It's the shepherds and the angels. In that region, there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what they had been told to them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, as it had been told to them. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Amen. Amen.
Uh-oh, we're still almost 2 weeks away from Christmas, and already we have the baby lying in a manger and shepherds going to visit the newborn child. Well, I told you last week we're not taking these stories in order. Rather, we're spending this season of Advent looking at several of the different key players in the biblical narrative of Christ's birth. The shepherds are certainly key players in that story. So even though they don't show up until after the birth of Jesus, we're going to spend this week looking at the shepherds and how their experience of the birth of Jesus relates to our own. There are several uh-oh to aha transformations in the story of the shepherds. The first is simply the terrifying, sudden appearance of an angel of the Lord standing before them out in the fields in the middle of the night. Uh-oh, what's going on here? I can imagine that they were saying something like that, maybe not those exact words, but something along those lines. To be out in the fields with the sheep in the middle of the night, a quiet, peaceful rest falling all around them, not a sound other than perhaps that of a light breeze or the gentle lowing of a sheep or two off in the distance. And then all of a sudden, that peaceful silence is shattered. An angel of the Lord appearing out of nowhere, the glory of the Lord shining all around them. Can you even imagine what that would look like, the glory of the Lord shining all around? The shock and awe of this moment must have been overwhelming, not to mention terrifying. It's not for nothing that whenever an angel of the Lord appears to someone in the Bible, the first words out of the angel's mouth are, "Fear not." And so it is with the angel that appeared to the shepherds on that first Christmas night. "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy." The angel knew that they would be afraid. It was natural for them to be afraid. Who wouldn't be afraid? But the angel didn't want them to be afraid. The angel came to bring good news of great joy. The uh-oh sensation that the shepherds felt when first the angel appeared would quickly be replaced by the aha of realizing what an amazing thing the angel had come to announce. Indeed, it was the most amazing good news that had ever or could ever be proclaimed. The Savior of the world had just been born. And not just the Savior of the world, but their Savior, the one who would forgive and redeem even them, the one who would bring them into right relationship with God, the one who would bring hope for their future and peace into their hearts, the one who would show the perfect love of God. This was good news of great joy indeed. Their fearful uh-oh quickly turned into a joyous aha. It doesn't always happen that quickly for us, but it can happen. It must happen when we realize what God is doing in our lives. Our fear gives way to joy. But the fear is there for a while, isn't it? That's the thing about these breakthrough revelations from God. They can be pretty scary, like the shepherds who were sitting out in the quiet fields. Many of us like our lives to be calm, quiet, comfortable, predictable. God doesn't let us get away with that for very long. A call comes that messes up our plans. A challenge presents itself that we can't shirk away from. The world around us goes into pandemic mode. The world within us is stirred up and frightful. The revelation of God can be fearful. Because in the moment that everything around us is going topsy-turvy, we can't imagine why or what for. We don't know what God is up to, what God has planned for us, what he is asking of us. We don't know if we're up for it or if we even want to be up for it. We just want everything to go back to normal, whatever normal means. We want to be in control again. But if the Lord is our God, there can be no other contender for the throne, not even ourselves. When God breaks into our comfortable existence and starts doing a new thing, it often feels like an uh-oh moment. It's scary. And it continues to be scary as long as we are resisting that new thing that God is doing. So long as we are trying to get back to the way things have always been, the way we assumed things would always be, then we will continue to live in that fearful uh-oh. But once we accept that the Lord is God and that we are not, then he begins to transform that fearful uh-oh into a joyous aha. Then we can begin to see the marvelous work of God in our lives. It doesn't always happen suddenly, as it did for the shepherds. Sometimes it takes years before we realize what God is up to. But as long as we trust that God is in control, as long as we know that God's plan is being worked out in us, then our fear is replaced by joy. The joy of God's presence and power, the glory of the Lord shining all around. The second uh-oh in this story comes from who the story is about: shepherds. It doesn't seem like a strange thing to us. Not many of us know a shepherd personally. But we grew up hearing this story of angels appearing to shepherds who then went to visit the baby Jesus. We've heard Old Testament prophets refer to religious leaders as shepherds. We've even heard Jesus referred to as the good shepherd. So we might not immediately realize what these shepherds represent. Luke's first century audience knew what these shepherds represented. They represented the lowest rung of society, what some cultures refer to as untouchables. Nobody really wanted to be around a shepherd for very long. They lived outside. They always smelled like animals. There was nothing appealing about shepherds. Perhaps that's even part of the reason that religious leaders, and even Jesus himself, were referred to as shepherds. They did important work that needed to be done, but for which they received no glory unto themselves. Nobody aspired to be a shepherd. Being a shepherd is something that you did because you were born into it, trapped at the bottom of society. No dignity, no respect, looked down upon, sometimes even despised. So God decides to step into human history. God comes to earth in human form, born as a baby who is destined to be the savior of the world, the greatest person to ever live, the one life that will define all other life for all of human history. And upon this auspicious event, who do the angels go to first in order to announce the good news? The most looked down upon, ostracized group of misfits they could find. Uh-oh. Did they get something wrong? Did they make a mistake here? Were the heavenly host of angels perhaps supposed to appear on the temple steps, proclaiming the wonder of this birth to the chief priests who could then share it with the nation? Were they maybe supposed to be making this announcement to the elders and scribes, the ones that the people respected, the ones that the people would listen to? No. They left all those important people out. And they went instead to a group of miscreants who were already considered a bit crazy, even on a good day. Uh-oh. Nobody was going to listen to these shepherds. These shepherds didn't matter to anybody. Why were the angels wasting their time with these shepherds? Why invite them to be the first to visit the newborn child? Why make these nobodies the first witnesses to the most spectacular event in all of human history? Perhaps it's because it was for just such as these that the Christ child was born. Perhaps it's because it was for just such as these that the Christ child was born. I shouldn't say perhaps. It most definitely is, because these shepherds are just the kind of people that God was trying to reach through the incarnation. Christ wasn't born for people who thought they already had life all figured out. He was born for people who knew they needed a savior. Christ came for those whom the world had despised, to show them that they are indeed loved. Loved beyond measure, loved beyond imagination, loved by the very God who created them and who had now come to save them. What joy there was in knowing that they mattered to God. What joy to know that they mattered to God so much that as soon as the baby was born, the angels were sent to them. To them, to the shepherds. Not to the chief priests, not to the elders and scribes, not to the town council, not to the village leaders, not to the emperor or kings, not to the powerful and mighty, not to the wealthy and influential, but to them, to a group of lowly shepherds whom no one regarded except God. God regarded those shepherds so much that he had come into the world, born as a tiny baby, for them. Joy. What tremendous joy. And I want you to hear this morning. I'm not just talking about those shepherds some 2,000 years ago. That message is true for us as well. That message is true for you. Christ was born for you. God came into this world for you. I don't know what you may think of yourself. I don't know what negative tales you tell yourself when you look in the mirror. I don't know what others have said about you, the biting jabs, the backstabbing comments. I don't know what the world has told you about you. But I do know what God has said about you. God has said, you are precious, and I love you.
I love you so much that I am coming to you. I am giving myself for you. I am coming to save you. God is saying, you matter. You matter to me. You matter to me so much as anyone who has ever lived. That's the message that the angels delivered to the shepherds out in the field that night so many years ago. And that's the very same message that the angels are delivering to you and to me this very day. Joy. I bring you good news of great joy. Joy for all the people, including you. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. To you is born the Savior. Joy. The third uh-oh in this story is related to the second. The Bible tells us that when the shepherds heard Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in the manger, they made known what had been told them about this child. Uh-oh. Well, who was going to listen to these guys? How could these lowlifes, that's not what God called them, but that's how society saw them, how could these lowlifes be delivering a word from God? No one was going to listen to what these shepherds had to say. But then they did. People actually did listen to what these shepherds had to say. All who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. These shepherds, who were the uneducated, unsophisticated, bottom rung of society, became the first evangelists of the gospel, the first witnesses to Christmas. The good news of Jesus Christ had been proclaimed to them by the angels. They went and saw for themselves and they believed, and then they testified to what they had received from God. And people actually listened to them. People were actually moved by what they said. Now, we don't know how many people heard their testimony that night. And of those who heard it, we don't know how many truly believed. The word amazed, all who heard it were amazed. Amazed doesn't necessarily mean they believed every word. You can be amazed by something without understanding it, without giving yourself over to it. You can be amazed or astounded without committing yourself to a particular belief. All we know about the nameless hearers of the shepherd's testimony is that they considered it seriously enough to be amazed by it. But there was one person in their audience to whom their testimony meant everything. Mary treasured these words and pondered them in her heart. The words of the shepherds struck Mary to the core. But why? Didn't she already know? Hadn't the angel already told her all of these things so many months before? Hadn't Joseph's belief been confirmation enough? Of course Mary already knew. Of course she already believed. Of course Joseph did too. This wasn't new information to them. But here is what was new to them. This was the first time that the truth of Jesus was being embraced and proclaimed by people beyond their own family. So far in the gospel story, the only ones who really knew and embraced who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, that he was the Messiah, the only ones who knew that were Mary, Joseph, Elizabeth, and Zechariah. And of course, John the Baptist, but he was still a baby himself. Now here comes a group of complete strangers. Strangers who have heard the proclamation of the angels, who have received the truth of who this baby is. They have proclaimed it for anyone who has ears to hear. What a powerful confirmation that must have been for Mary. that she and her family were not the only ones who would know, that they would not be alone in their belief. What a relief to know it wasn't just on them to tell others about the divine and redemptive nature of their Son, that God was going to spread the word near and far through all kinds of people, even through lowly shepherds. And it wouldn't only be lowly shepherds who would hear and receive this news. It would also be mighty kings, wise men from afar. We'll come to that in a couple of weeks. For now, though, the message for us from the witness of the shepherds is that everyone has a story to tell. We all have a testimony to share. And your testimony is going to mean the world to someone. Someone is going to hear your words, hear what you have received from God, hear what Jesus has done for you, and they are going to treasure these things in their hearts. You don't have to have a seminary degree. You don't have to have attained a certain level of understanding. You don't have to have a certain social standing. You don't have to have knowledge of the whole Bible forward and backward. Your testimony is what God has done in your life, what Jesus means to you. All you have to do is share what has been made known to you, the grace of God in Jesus Christ that you have received and by which you are saved. You might be thinking, uh-oh, who am I to preach the gospel? What could I possibly have to say that would be of any value to someone else? Your words might just be the aha that they have been longing to hear. Someone who has never before received the gospel might hear your words and be amazed by them. Someone who knew the gospel long before you did might hear your words and treasure them in her heart. The joy of the Lord has been shared with you. Now share that joy with others. Amen. Amen. I invite you now to stand as you are able and let us sing with joy our closing hymn, Angels We Have Heard on High. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 3. It's number 238 in the hymnal.
Angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains, and the mountains in reply, echoing their joyous strains. Gloria in excelsis whose birth the angels sing. Come, adore on bended knee, Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Go now in the joy of the Lord. Joy because you are God's own treasure. Joy because he loves you. Joy because he comes to you. Joy because he saves you. In the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.